Indeed sponsored jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. And thank you.
Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, real ghost stories told by real living people.
As opposed to you, who's not living?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Told by people who are living and breathing.
Okay.
As opposed to the dead calling and sharing their stories. Which, we haven't had that happen yet, have we? Or have we suspected that of happening yet at all in any cases, in any way, shape, or form?
A dead ringer?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No.
Didn't we have an episode called that?
I think so.
No mysterious call where it's like, I'm from the grave.
No, no. The only thing we've had close to that is interrupted calls.
And
repeatedly.
Yeah, we get that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, prank calls and things of that nature. But yeah, it is rather odd sometimes with the phone system because it's a fairly reliable service. And yes, calls do drop. I blame that on just bad cell phones, mm-hmm. you know, more than anything. I could be sitting here with like full bars and all of a sudden, boop, gone. It's like, okay, well, that worked out well. But it is rather odd sometimes with stories where somebody is in an area where their phone should be working just fine and they have to get call in so many times just to get it up because for whatever reason, it drops it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's our system. I don't think it's the phone at that time. I think that in some cases, there really is something intervening as far as not wanting the story to get out there.
Well, especially if they're calling from the location that they're talking about.
Yeah, which happens quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, anywho, that's what happens sometimes on this show if you're new to it. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to the show for our enjoyment, our listening, and our discussion of said events. Let's go to our first caller here today and hear this story. Hi.
Hello, Brewskis. I had called in to tell you some stories about my brother, but apparently, even after 15 years, I am emotionally not ready to talk about that. So, I will tell you a few other things instead. All my stories are very short, so I'm just going to lump them in. I'll start with, in 2010, I was living in Nicholasville, Kentucky, and I moved into a townhouse that my sister was already living in. And things kind of started like right away. Like, we moved into this place, and when we moved in, there was a handprint on the top of the stairs. Nothing abnormal about that. Maybe kids put it on there, whatever, whenever they were painting the house. But we painted over it with primer, and we painted the wall from white to a reddish color. My sister's choice, not mine. And then, so anyway, so the handprint, you know, it came back through, which is not completely out of the ordinary for paint. But then, so we painted it again, and it came back through again, and then we painted it again, and it came back through again. And no matter how many times we would paint it, it would always come through. And then, which if that wasn't weird enough, then I was home by myself one night, and I started hearing footsteps in the, like, running footsteps in her room, which was directly above the living room. But we had cats, so I didn't think anything of it. And two of them were sitting on the couch next to me, and then so I just figured it was the other one upstairs running around crazy. But just as the footsteps stopped, the other cat came around the corner from the kitchen downstairs, not upstairs. So I went up there to see what was going on, and kind of got like a weird feeling when I walked into her room, but there was nothing in there. So then I went back down, and the noises kind of happened a couple more times. I went back up there again to check, nothing. And then a few days later, I was in the bathroom and I was brushing my teeth, and the feeling was just so intense, like I couldn't stand it. So I just spit out and rinsed my mouth and got out of there and went to work. No, so after that, I went to, I had gotten home from a double shift, and I went to bed, and then I was woken up in the middle of the night with this crazy feeling of someone watching me, except for no one was there. So I got out of there and I went to sleep on the couch. And while I was sleeping on the couch, I heard noises again upstairs. Well, my sister, she worked at an emergency vet clinic, so it wasn't her. She wasn't there. So not only did I hear footsteps on this particular time, but I also heard children laughing. And then, so I ran upstairs to see what was going on, and there was nothing. So then, after that, you know, I talked to her. She told me that she was hearing the same noises whenever I was in there. And then we moved. So that was kind of the end of that. Nothing followed us or anything like that. But here's a really short one. I own a pool company, and I had an empty house, a realty house, for sale on the market. And when I went there the first time, I thought this was the coolest house. This was so nice, and like, it was beautiful. But every time I went there, the feeling would increase of uncomfortability, and I fear nothing. I'm afraid of spiders, and that is it. Otherwise, I fear nothing. I wasn't even afraid, really, whenever we had living in the townhouse. I just didn't want to hear the noises or feel like I was being watched. But this got to the point to where I ended up calling the realtor and quitting servicing this pool, because the feeling of being there was so overwhelmingly negative that I didn't even want to be there. I would dream about the house, and I would dream that while I was cleaning the pool, someone was standing at the sliding glass door, not even just looking at me, but like, desperately wanting to get out of the house and attack me. So I ended up quitting working at that pool. And yeah, so there's some other little things, but I feel like I'm going a little long. So I'll share again, and then maybe one day I can share about my brother, because it actually ends up being a really great story. Anyway, thank you very much.
So with all the things that are going on, I'm not surprised that there's a good chance he's picking up on other entities when he is out doing his job, like servicing that pool. I would always go with your gut on that when you feel you're being watched by something or you don't feel like something's right. Not saying drop all your clients, but just pay attention and be aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's a fairly sensitive individual, too, where it's he gets the bonus ghosts, as I would call them. Like, the folks who are not super sensitive, they can pick up on some of the ones that are out there if they're wanting to be known or if they're strong enough to be seen. But when you get into that sensitive territory, you get the bonus ones that everyone else doesn't see. It's just an added feature of being sensitive. So, I agree. Thank you for sharing that that story with us here. Our phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi. My name is Irene, and I just wanted to share a story that happens to me when I was little. I know I already posted it on your wall, but I missed a lot of spots where you're going to excuse my accent. I am from Africa, where a lot of those stories are pretty common. So when I was little, my dad bought this mansion-like house, and we decided to move in. The first floor was finished, but the second floor wasn't, so my dad decided to keep on building it. It was a good deal, so he took it. When we moved in, we tried to say hi to the neighbors, but they seemed kind of reluctant. Like, sometimes they wanted to come, and the kids wanted to come and play with us, and the parents were like, no, don't go there. And sometimes someone wants to come and talk to you, and then he kind of backed off. Like, something is just pushing him back. So we were young. I was like 10 years old. We didn't really mind it. I'm talking plural, because I was living with my cousin. One evening, we're coming back from school. We used to play soccer in the evening. We went back home. And just as soon as I put my bag down in my room, I hear my cousin screaming from the other room. So I ran over and see her shaking like a leaf, pointing inside her room. So I pushed the door, and what I saw was the most terrifying thing. Till today, I am still shaking. I don't know if he was a dark figure or we don't really know what it was. He was like in a dark robe, and he was looming over her bed, but it was standing at the other edge, but you could see its head on the other end of the bed. So we ran as fast as we could to the kitchen where my the nanny was, and the nanny comes. I mean, when we end the hallway, I decide to turn over, because I was this is not going to scare me. I'm going to protect my little sister. So I turn over, and I see it kind of vanishing at the end of the hallway. So we went and explained what happened to the nanny. And she came over to the room and see if it must have been like a burglar or anything, something hiding in the room, or someone trying to play a prank on us. She didn't see anything. Everything was locked. So she waited for my parents to come back that evening. She explained what happened. My dad was kind of skeptical. My mom believed us, because she said that, because when my father left, she started telling us that when she goes to shower, she can feel like someone watching her. So that day went by. One other day, we were sitting in the living room watching a movie, and my mom said, pass me the remote. So I stood up. As soon as I reached the table, and I can see some, like a hand coming out of behind the TV and trying to grab me. So I look around and see if like anybody else saw what I saw. My cousin saw it, my mom saw it, but my dad say he didn't. I don't know if he didn't want to believe what he saw, or he was just in denial. I don't know what's going on, but he said he didn't see it. So my mom is just like, okay, everybody in his room. If my cousin doesn't want to go back to her room, we can sleep together. So she came and slept in my room. At night, you can literally feel like they were shaking the walls, banging on the walls. I mean, they weren't scared to let us know that they are there. And they want us out, pretty much, because a lot of moment it was literally like they want you to get out of the house. So my cousin, she couldn't stand it anymore. She decided to leave like 3 days after being there. The nanny was really supportive. She decided to stay with us a whole year. It kind of became a habit to see them, literally see your shadow on the wall walking slowly every night at 11 p.m. Like walking slowly and taking up the stairs. We have this kind of door that when you push it comes back, you can see something playing with it all night. For a whole year, we lived that horror. For my father to finally accept what was going on, he wanted to go and see what he can do about the second floor of the house, if he can flip it or whatever. He went there and he felt like someone pushed him down the stairs, and he fell and broke his leg. Since then, we called the priest. The priest came in and he couldn't get in the door. He got inside the gate, but getting inside the house, he said, those people, they have been here for a while and they have no intention of leaving. So from what one is saying, like, I don't know if he was talking to one of them or whatever, but he was saying that one of them are saying that he can let us move out because the house have been their playground for years, and they have no intention of leaving. So a year later, in 2000, because this was in 2000, and in 2001, my father finally sold the house to the government, and we had to move out. So finally, when we decided to move out, while we were moving out, one of the neighbors come and tell us that the house was built on an old cemetery, and they were threatening them that if anyone would tell us what's going on in the house, they'll get killed. So they were really scared about that. That's why they didn't want their kids to play with us. They didn't want to talk to us. So I mean, that was really freaky. I had a lot of stories that happened to me, a lot of paranormal activities in my house, even pretty much after that. But yeah, this is one of my stories. I might call again, who knows, if I remember more. Well, thank you. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. These people have been here for a very long time, and they have no intention of leaving.
Yeah, that's just what you want to hear.
Especially from your exorcist.
Well, and I think there's a little bit more than just ghosts from the cemetery going on. It sounds like it was pretty dark.
That is, that's a creepy story.
Yeah. Do you think there was demonic stuff going on?
I think there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, it just sounds like there was, it's like interference almost,
mm-hmm.
For those of us who remember using television sets that could get multiple stations in just through an antenna. And it didn't just go to a blue screen. If the picture wasn't absolutely perfect, it would just be this kind of fuzzled, messed up image. And you'd be like, am I watching a little bit of Dawson's Creek and Full House and Leave It to Beaver all at the same time? You know, because it would all intermingle itself a little bit. And that's kind of what I think you have going on here almost. There's just so much going on, and each thing is doing their own thing at the same time, that I think it can be very easy to mix up who's doing what or what is doing what, and not really know exactly what you have there from a human standpoint.
And if they've been there a long time, they might pull out all the stops to keep their territory.
Sure. I don't think there's any intention of leaving, no matter how nicely you ask them.
Right.
In that case. So, my goodness. Thank you for that that story and sharing that experience with us. I used to, actually, when I was a kid, there was a station out of Milwaukee that would run reruns of Full House at about 5:30 in the evening. And we lived in an area where it was literally right in between Green Bay and Milwaukee. And the Green Bay and Milwaukee were the two TV stations were. Believe it or not, the TV station that was on the SNL bit the other night, the Fond du Lac Action News or whatever, doesn't exist.
Okay.
Not real. Pretty good representation of the city and you know, how things are. And if there was a TV station there, probably would be a lot like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't. But right in the middle there. So you're kind of on like the fringe of both cities as far as coverage goes. So I would sit there and I would try and get the antenna on the TV to pick up this Milwaukee station at 5:30 every night, because I was a big fan of Full House in 1993.
Sure.
And it would be one of those cases where for, you know, you get a little bit of the show and then suddenly it, like, you're watching like People's Court. And it's going back and forth, or a little bit of both at the same time. And you're getting just the audio of People's Court with Full House playing, or back and forth because there was a show on that frequency. But anyhow, that's my little memory of old-time television.
Okay.
Back in the day on the, I believe that was UHF, because there's VHF and UHF. UHF is the higher numbers, isn't it?
I don't know.
I believe, because there's two dials on the old TVs.
We had satellites, so I have no idea.
We had satellites?
No, we had one of those big, huge satellite dishes.
Uh-huh.
That was just like, and here in Kansas, when they were that big, that only worked about half the time.
Because of wind?
Yeah. Yeah, it would shake to where you get no reception, or you couldn't literally dial in for it to turn because the wind was too much.
They turned?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they turned.
Yeah.
I just thought they sat there and picked up space frequencies.
No.
Do people still use, I mean, I know obviously there's like Dish and Direct, the little things.
Yeah.
But do people ever still use, other than like mass communication companies that are shooting stuff, you know, do consumers use those giant dishes anymore, anywhere?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's still a purpose, or if you would even need to with like Dish and Direct TV. If
that's, I think Dish and Direct TV replaced it.
There's no more giant dishes. Those had to be expensive.
I don't know. It came with the house when my parents got it.
Sure.
And so it was a joy to figure that out.
I don't know what they're made of either. So are they just like
it was like a fiberglass material.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did see a creative use for one recently in a Halloween display.
They did a good job with that. Yeah.
A house in our neighborhood took an old satellite dish, cut it in half, and then made it look like a crashed UFO in their front yard. And that was pretty good. It's funny because it took us a moment to go, what is that shape? It like looks so oddly familiar. What did they? Oh, it's an old satellite dish.
They did a great job.
That was really interesting. That was a good one. Let's go to the caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, guys. This is Natalie from California again. I actually remembered this other instance I had. It was in September of last year. It was for my husband and I's anniversary. Actually, the present that I chose was to go on this famous ship in Long Beach. And I wanted to take the midnight ghost tour. And I did. we both did, actually. And the most awesome thing about it was that it wasn't 2 hours long. It ended up being 4 hours long. So it was really worth the money, I guess. And The whole time we did have experiences. I feel like I have a little more, I'm more in tune with the spirits. It happened in my early 20s. I don't know how it did, but I just, it happened. And I know it's been in my family for a long time because my sister is a big time empath. She's attracted, but she attracts a lot of spirits. But I was a late bloomer, but as soon as we would get into certain levels of the ship, I would start feeling like very nauseous. I would start feeling like, I don't know. I just had an ugly feeling. But anyway, we actually went to the bottom of the ship, and this was towards the end of the tour, and we had to cross a catwalk. And in crossing that catwalk, we went into this one room, and the tour guide went. He left the room, and he left the small group in there. It was about, you know, 8 to 10 people. And I had my phone in my hand, and it was facing me. The speaker was facing me. So I realized this. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to fix it before the tour guide comes back. So I fixed the phone, and it was facing out. And within this time, two of the guys were chit-chatting about other stuff that was going on with the ship. And I had I had the phone facing the other side, so you could hear shuffling and everything. And I couldn't hear anything to the naked eye, to the current sounds. I couldn't hear anything. But going back to all the evidence, to all the recordings that I had, I heard a voice, which is clear. The tour guide asked questions, and it was answered. You could call me, like, I honestly have no. I've never researched this ship at all, so I didn't. I always thought it was it sailed within the Pacific Ocean, but it didn't. It sailed through the Atlantic Ocean It stayed in the Pacific Ocean. So the answer that it gave was the Atlantic Ocean, and I was really floored. Because it was the correct answer, because he asked, you know, what ocean did you sail at? And it said the Atlantic. And I didn't even know that. I had to go and research it because that's what I heard in the recordings. And then we heard a woman crying. This girl had to kill it because she's like, what was that? And so in my recording, I get the other woman talking instead of the crying that I heard. We all clearly heard. And but I ended up getting the voice of the person that was yelling. So, well, that she was screaming, she was all scared. but I think that was the room that was most with more more, how do you say, activity. It had more activity in there. But yeah, it was an awesome experience. I loved my anniversary present, and I would really recommend everybody to go and take the midnight tour. It's amazing. If you know what ship I'm talking about, you guys should go and do it. Tony, I will send you the recordings of that night. I don't know how, and I don't want to mess up the clipping because it's about 2 hours long, I think. So just as soon as I figure out how you do it, I'll send it to you so you guys can play it. Okay, well, thank you guys. Have a nice night. Bye.
Any ideas on how to send it?
She'll need to open it up in some sort of audio editor and then select the area she wants, save those selected areas, and send those.
Yeah.
So any sort of wave editor would work. Save it as an MP3 and send it. Because, yeah, I 2 hours of audio would be kind of difficult to decipher or sift on through.
Right.
But yeah, if you can, I mean, I don't know if you could even send that. That'd be a huge file. I mean, if they would tell us time marks, I could find it as well, mm-hmm. As long as there's some notation there. But yeah, just open it if you can. There's plenty of free ones. Edit, clip, send, done. Simple to do.
So you still want to go check that out?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Why?
I just don't. I don't want to go take a haunted tour.
Are you afraid that you might have a ghostly encounter?
Yeah.
Of course, the ship they're talking about is a Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of stories about that boat on this show. Some really good ones,
mm-hmm.
Including that one there. Ones from past tour guides. And it seems to be one of those ships that you go on and you take the ghost tour and you get your money's worth,
mm-hmm.
Where it's not just... And back in 78, a man named Herb thought he heard some splashing over there. We're going to go and take a bathroom break now. It's really a good tour.
Yeah.
So I would love to go on it.
Okay.
I've been, a while back, I tried to reach out to someone with the ship. I think I just left a voicemail and asking if they'd call back. I never did get a call back because I would like to have someone from that ship actually on the show for as a guest,
mm-hmm.
to talk about some of the experiences firsthand on multiple occasions. So if anyone out there knows of anyone, or maybe you are someone who works on that ship, who is in that area of giving those tours, please have them reach out to us.
Yeah,
because I would like to. I didn't follow up or anything. Gee, I hope you call me back. But if you're involved in that, if you are that person, please do email me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, because it would be a great episode to talk about some of the stuff on that ship. Very, very interesting stuff. That's one that's always been interesting to me since the old days of Unsolved Mysteries and Robert Stack.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that episode with the Queen Mary?
No.
And there was a big bit on it about the ghosts that were seen in the pool area, and then there was like splashing, and then they like auto-imposed like purple footprints. This is like 1991 or so,
sure.
As far as the graphic technology goes. But I kind of liked those shows better back then, when they had to be a little more creative with how they're presenting the ghosts,
mm-hmm.
than how they are now. It's like, well, let's just pop this person onto screen and add a little filter to them and we'll call them a ghost.
Sure.
It's just so easily done now. And like without a whole lot of thought back then, it's like, how are we really going to make this look freaky and real?
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said about that. I think there's more that went into some of that sometimes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to the caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, guys. This is Justin. I'm 32 years old, and I actually just discovered the podcast yesterday through iTunes. I've already listened to several episodes since then and enjoy it very much. And I just thought I would go ahead and share one of the few stories that I have, very few. I'm actually not a believer in the supernatural or paranormal at all. But one thing that happened to me a long time ago, about 15 years ago actually, has always stood out in my mind as something that I haven't been able to explain. And so, even though I'm not a believer, I thought I would go ahead and issue it as some reluctant evidence. I apologize for the bad sound quality. I'm actually driving home right now on I-10, so I apologize for the road noise. At any rate, so when I was about 16, give or take a year, I was in my bedroom alone playing guitar, practicing. I remember the song. It was Dave Matthews, So Much to Say. And I was having trouble with it, practicing, and getting frustrated, but continuing to practice. And as I managed to get a little better and hit the riff, the run on the guitar correctly, I felt distinctly on my right shoulder, two pads. And they were clearly hand pads. As if, a hand was saying good job or encouragement. I actually thought that perhaps my father had snuck into the room, which was very unlikely because my room was the only room upstairs. And, of course, when I turned around, there was no one there at all. And obviously it would be quite easy to just dismiss that, saying, oh, I didn't really feel that. It was, any number of things. It was my hair, it was the guitar strap, but it was none of those things. It was the exact pressure of a hand patting me twice in an encouraging way. And that's why I remember it. It didn't scare me because it was not, you know, an intimidating or a negative gesture or experience. Like I said, I thought it was my father basically giving me a, you know, good job. But it turned out it was no one. And that was quite odd to me. And like I said, I've remembered it all these years, never been able to explain it. And so anytime that the subject of, you know, ghosts or hauntings or paranormal activity is brought up by someone I'm speaking with, this is my one story that I can throw into the mix and say, well, I don't really believe in ghosts, but this happened to me, and so maybe it is true. Maybe there is proof. So anyway, that's basically it. I was given a ghostly double pat of encouragement, and nothing else really happens after that. It's kind of a one-time deal, but I've always remembered it. So anyway, I hope everyone is having a good day, a good week, good weekend, and I'm really enjoying the show. I've subscribed and probably do the paid subscription as soon as possible. So thank you very much, and stay safe. Bye.
Hold my head up and let me out, maybe.
What?
That's the end of the Dave Matthews song he was singing, or said it was playing.
Okay.
I just had the damn song stuck in my head the entire time he was telling the story.
Okay.
Dave Matthews Band, So Much to Say.
Okay.
Here at Ghost Stories Radio FM. yeah, that, anyway, I don't think I even had the words right, but I just remember that was kind of how the song ended.
I don't remember that one.
So much to say, so much to say, so much to say, so much to say. That's my horrible version of it.
Okay.
Anyhow. Anyhow, thoughts on the story?
You know, I think it's always nice that when you get these ghostly cheerleader ones, mm-hmm. you know, when they're there to help, you know, cheer you on. It's
sure.
like, of all the things that a ghost could be doing, They choose to be encouraging sometimes. I think that's funny.
Choose to be helpful. Choose to be a positive force, not a, I'm going to just freak these people out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a nuisance. Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
There's good people. There's bad people. There's good ghosts. There's bad ghosts. And I agree. There was it was a neat story.
Yeah.
With the soundtrack to Dave Matthews.
That was the bad part.
Stuck in my head now.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to Dave Matthews in God, I don't know how long. I did see their 30th anniversary tour, 25th anniversary tour or something.
I have no idea.
It is. It's like, oh my God, they've been around that long. Like, I remember when they were fairly new
mm-hmm.
and it was like, you know, like kind of the, you know, alt rock, you know, people were like, oh, you listen to Dave? You know, it was that group. yes. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Amanda calling from Troy, New York. I actually used to listen probably over a year or so ago. I actually called a few times too with stories about stuff that I thought was my grandfather and stuff that was happening in my mom's house. But I stopped listening for a while. I was dealing with a divorce. So, but today is actually March 1st, and today is the 4-year anniversary of when my dad passed. And 2 days ago, we went to the Veterans Cemetery, and we get there, and we get out of the car. There's nobody where we are. There's people up towards the front, but they were pulling out as we pulled in. And he's back. He's cremated, so he's back, and he's in the wall, literally in the back of the cemetery. Any further, and you hit woods. And we get out of the car and we start to walk over towards the wall, and Tops starts playing. And they'll play Tops at the cemetery, but normally when they play it, it is over a loudspeaker, and it is clearly a recording, and it's grainy. And from that area of the cemetery, it sounds distant. what we heard sounded like somebody standing directly in our area and playing it right in front of us. The only time that I can say that I heard it that clear was the day of his funeral, which I don't even know. I don't know how to describe it. It's just, I don't know. I've never had that happen. I've heard things before, but that was just crystal clear. And that just sent, because it was my mom, my grandmother, and myself, and that just sent all of us into weeping. And we walk over to where he is, and we leave flowers, and we're talking to him and everything. And as we're talking, this bird comes over and just stays there right in front of us, right between us, the wall, everything. And it's not even phased. It's just there. And I don't know, maybe I'm just looking for signs, but between the music just coming out of nowhere, and, you know, we didn't have food, we didn't have anything, and the bird was just there like, hey, how are you? So I don't know. I thought, what better way than to jump back into listening to you guys and sharing another story and having it be this. So, yeah, that was my most recent experience. There's been some other stuff, but I'll call back a different time. This is just meant for an amazing man. And I don't know. I don't know if anybody's had anything similar. Probably not. Maybe. I have no idea. But I just, that music was just so loud, and it sounded like you were standing right next to the person playing it. I hope you have a good day.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. We get stories like that, I wouldn't say quite often, but sometimes.
We do, yeah.
About audio and you know, messages or things of that nature coming through very clearly in ways that they, in theory, shouldn't be, because there's no real way for them to be coming across that clearly. I think you just simply had someone that was there trying to give you a message and just let you know that they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that they could do that by being that clear, rather than, you know, trying to use the speaker that was way over, you know, on the whatever building that would have been kind of faintly away, that you would have just written off as, oh, they're playing that again, you know. Mm-hmm. It's what they do. This was, you know, very direct, very much, this is going to, you know, I think sometimes the ghosts know the emotional reaction they can create in someone by what they do before they do it.
And I think it was orchestrated to, you know, of course, make you remember the last time you heard it and mm-hmm. remember that person.
Sure.
So I see why it happened.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to one more caller here. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is one of many times I've called. This time I'm calling with a couple of stories about people that I've known that have passed that pop back. There's a couple. The first of all, I should tell you that I've been quite sensitive since I was small, same as my mum and her mum, so I'm outside of the family, and the women anyway, quite sensitive, and so certain things have been happening all the way through life, and they've always felt quite normal and not frightening. And these things have been quite the silver lining. Sometimes it's not so good to be sensitive, but these times it was really good. So I don't think I've told you this before, but there was one time when I'm 33 now, and when I was 19, my mum and dad split up, and my dad was devastated. My mum was the one that left. And he was upset in the kitchen one evening, devastated. Never seen him like that before. He was crying his eyes out. We'd had an argument because it's quite a stressful time when your parents split up. He was too sad for me to comfort him, and I was too sad for him to comfort me. But we were both in a position. And I was stood in the kitchen, and he was sitting on the floor. He was weak from crying, and he'd just gone onto the floor, and he just wouldn't stop sobbing like a tiny boy. And I never seen this, and I couldn't look. And I remember looking at the floor and thinking, I need some help. I don't know what to do. And just as that happened, there was a familiar smell and this warm, familiar feeling when there is a friendly visitor, like someone I've known. And it's a real, it's like having warm water go down your back of the neck. It's really nice. And then there was this smell of my grandma, and it's so distinctive. Everybody knows that their own grandma smell is special. And I looked up, because I knew she was here, I knew she was in the room, and she was stood, my grandma, my dad's mum, she'd passed away 10 years before, was stood with her hand on his shoulder and the top of his back, and she was comforting him like a mother would, and she was just looking at him. She didn't look at me. I don't know if she knew I was there, or if she did, it wasn't about me. It was about her coming down for her son and comforting him. And as she rubbed his shoulder and his back, he stopped crying. He, like a little boy that's being comforted, you know, when you, you know. And as he stopped crying, she disappeared and she was gone. And he was much better after that. I usually wait a few months, maybe, to tell somebody when this thing, sort of thing's happened to them. And all the dust has settled, and stories of paranormal come up. Everyone knows it's only a matter of time before I tell them something that might have happened to them. And I often talk about it with my family and friends because it's interesting and fun. And I told him about it much later on. He doesn't like to believe me so much about these things. He's quite skeptical, but I think he agrees with me that she was there that day. Another time, I had a visitor. There's a friend of mine hung himself, and he had a daughter who was friends with me. He asked me to look after her when she came to stay in our town. I was a bit older than her, and he was a great, great friend of mine. And when he died, I had to go and help clean up around the house, his house, put his clothes away, help the family a bit. They were a bit distraught by the whole thing, obviously. And for me, that was quite stressful because I had to be quite strong for people who needed it, whilst also packing away my dead friend's belongings, which was sad. But anyway, a few weeks later, maybe not even a few weeks, maybe a couple of weeks or so later, I had a dream which turned into not a dream, and I've had this happen before. Everything goes white and warm, and there's that warm feeling across the back, and all of a sudden I was dreaming along, dream, and then my dream stopped, and I had very vivid dreams, and this one just stopped in its tracks, and everything went white. And then I heard him laughing behind me, and I could see him, and he was just standing. He was talking to somebody else, but I couldn't see who it was that was there. And he just told me he was sorry, and that please tell his daughter that he loves her very much, and that he's so sorry, but he's not really gone anywhere. He's always going to be around, and that he loves her. Please tell her I love her. And then we hugged, and I heard him laughing again, and it was gone. And then I was back to normal dreaming. I felt like I'd woken up and gone back to sleep again, almost. It was very strange, but nice. And maybe I have time for a third one. I seem to have known a lot of people that died, actually. It's unfortunate, it's just the way life is sometimes. I had a friend of mine taken away from me taken away from his poor mom, taken away from everybody, mysteriously, when he was 21 years old. They called it an adult cop death. I don't even understand what that's supposed to mean, but it basically means they don't know why he died. He just died. And he was a wonderful, wonderful person, wonderful young man. And when he passed on, his mum had a very difficult time dealing with it. And I think even now, she still has his room the same, or it's not been easy for her to clean that up. It's been, I can't do the math. It's over 10 years. It's maybe 10 years, maybe more, years ago that he died. And but apparently every day she had a visitor, a crow, come and tap on the window, and she could speak to it and feed it, and it was super tame, and it would come back all the time. And she really believed this was her son coming back to visit. He was loved The Crow, the movie. It would have made perfect sense for him to come back as a crow, or use the crow as a vessel. I don't know how that works, animals and spirits. This is a bit of a big area, it's too big an area to think about, but I think that's lovely that he would have done that. And that I know she was so distressed and so it with grief that I think she would have found comfort in most things, but she, on the other hand, she was so sad and so grieving, it's a bit obscure that she would find this comfort in a crow that kept coming back, the same crow. And but I strongly believe he was around. He was a good friend of mine, and I was at Glastonbury Festival for the first time without him after years of being there with him, music festival in England. And I was missing him. I was just sitting in the field under some big flags blowing in the wind quite late at night. It was dark. And I was just talking to some friends about something else, not about my friend that died or anything. And but I did all of a sudden miss him and wish that he was there, because he was missing. And as I felt like that, I had that warm feeling again down the back of my neck, and I felt arms go around me from behind, and as if he was sitting behind me with his arms around me. And I warmed up as well, and it was quite cold. And I believe that was him that year. But anyway, so I'll leave it at that, because I start this, you know, when you make big pauses. So I'm going to leave, and I hope you enjoyed those stories, and I shall speak to you again, no doubt, very soon. Goodbye.
Very busy being as sensitive as she is.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's beyond sensitive. I think she's more of a medium.
Obviously someone who picks up on these things, you know, more than the average person. It's, he gets bonus ghosts.
Yeah.
As I was saying earlier. Very interesting to hear the stories and the perspectives, especially from a listener so far away. Where was she calling in from?
She's, I think, originally from the UK, but calling in from the Czech Republic.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get a map in here.
A big map,
and
yes.
We can put little tacks
mm-hmm.
into it as to where everyone is calling in from. Was that an MP3 caller?
No. Oh,
that was actually on the...
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty good quality mm-hmm. audio call for an audio.
It was.
Interesting. I was just going to suggest, if you have a real ghost story you want to share with us and you're not in an area where you can just call in to the 800 line without incurring large fees, you can always just send us in an MP3 of your story if you want to share it that way. Just record it on your mobile device and then email it into us, Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com, and we can share it that way. Or Jenny at realghoststoriesonline.com.
I'll take them too.
Jenny.
Why?
Just so you know. I have to say why with my name too.
Because
mm-hmm. I get I sometimes.
That's traditionally the female spelling.
It is, but I get that. I don't know. I think maybe it's just my people, they look at me and they think, could possibly be a girl.
Right.
Possibly. I get that it's the facial hair.
Okay.
Or then the lack of hair as well. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. If you would like to keep this thing on the air and get a bunch of bonus episodes, more than 80 of them, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Those are some of our best episodes, packed with some of our best stories. It's only $5 a month, and that's what keeps this thing going. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click, become an EPP, and help keep our show a-going. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Get a full body reset anywhere you go with Dr. Teal's Magnesium Spray. It's a concentrated magnesium blend of pure Epsom and Dead Sea salts, all bundled up in a convenient on-the-go bottle. A few quick sprays will relax your body and mind and keep you feeling recharged all day long. It's wellness you can feel, and you can find it in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.